This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. If you suffer from a diabetic complication, radiation damage, stroke, or a degenerative condition, hyperbaric oxygen therapy may be right for you. Ask your doctor about how HBOT can help you achieve your optimal health. Call Hyperbaric Medical Solutions at 844-877-HBOT or visit hyperbaricmedicalsolutions.com/Hoffman to learn more.
Welcome to Layla's Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thank you for joining me on Friday or whenever you choose to listen to these podcasts. The wonderful thing about podcasting is that you, the listener, can download them anytime you wish. You don't have to be ball and chained to a certain day or time to hear a broadcast, a live broadcast. So thank you for listening. I welcome and appreciate all of your questions and comments. So please do send me your questions, and on any particular topics that you may be interested in, send it to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Some things in the news I wanted to talk to you about. There are going to be changes to the nutrition facts label. You know that label you see on your food items? The nutrition facts where they tell you the serving size, how many servings are in a particular container, the calories, the cholesterol, the carbs, the proteins, and certain micronutrients. Well, there are going to be some changes, and this has finally been finalized, and the FDA is implementing this and want food companies to have it implemented by the year 2018. So, the new nutrition facts label for packaged foods are to reflect new scientific information, including the link between diet and chronic diseases, or chronic diseases like obesity, heart disease. So the new label is intended to make it easier for us consumers to make better informed food choices. So what are some of the features? The look of the label will remain the same, but they're making important updates to make sure that consumers have access to the info they need to make informed decisions. This is all fine and good. So the changes include increasing the type size for calories per container, okay? And the serving size declaration, excuse me, and bolding the number of calories and the serving size declaration to highlight this info. So when you look at this new label now, I'm looking at it now, calories are in bold, serving size is also in bold, right under the bolded nutrition facts. All right. So manufacturers have to declare the actual amount in addition to percent daily value of now vitamin D, along with calcium and iron, which were always part of the nutrition facts label. The vitamin D is new. And now potassium. So the vitamin D and potassium is new, really, on the nutrition facts label. And of course, any food manufacturer can voluntarily add in any of the nutrients and the amounts that they want you to know about. It can help them sell their products. So basically, the daily value tells us how much a nutrient in a serving of food is contributing to a daily diet. And what they use as a daily diet is approximately 2,000 calories a day. And this is really for more general information. Now, here's what I'm excited about. Added sugars in grams will be included on the label. And the scientific data shows that it's difficult for us to meet our nutrition needs while staying within the calorie limits if we consume more than 10% of your total daily calories from added sugar. This is actually consistent with the dietary guidelines for Americans. So more than 10% of daily calories from added sugar. Let me give you an example. On a 2,000 calorie, pretty much down the middle of the road daily diet, on average, 2,000 calories for most people. Now, 10% of that would almost be equivalent to a 20-ounce soda, which is slightly over 200 calories, because 200 calories would be 10% of the 2,000. 8 ounces of soda would be between 90 and 100 calories. 12 ounces, about 140 calories. Now, the vitamins A and C, which you would normally see on the Nutrition Facts label, is no longer required, but again, food manufacturers can include these on a daily basis. Why? Because we're seeing that any kind of deficiency in vitamin A or C is more rare, especially in our country. Now, while they will continue to have total fat, saturated fat, and trans fat on the label, calories from fat is being removed because the type of fat is more important than the amount. Bravo, FDA, and I rarely say bravo to the FDA, but guess what? That's really a step in the right direction. It's the type of fat that matters, and we know that saturated fats, not all of them, are bad. We know that factory-made trans fats are bad. So we will still continue to see this on the label. So the daily values for nutrients like sodium, fiber, vitamin D, these are all being updated based on new scientific evidence from the Institute of Medicine and other reports from the Dietary Guidelines Committee report from 2015. So, by law, here's the thing. Here's the updates on serving sizes, labeling requirements for certain package sizes. By law, serving sizes must be based on amounts of foods and beverages that people are actually eating, not by what they should be eating. Now, that sentence I just read to you, I'm already taking issue with it, so let me delve further. What they're saying is that how much people eat and drink has changed since the previous serving size requirements that were published in the year 1993. And they give an example. The reference amount used to set a serving of ice cream was previously a half a cup, but now it's changing to 2/3 of a cup. The reference amount used to set a serving of soda is changing from 8 ounces to 12 ounces. Now, I don't know about you, but I've noticed in the grocery store so many of those 12-ounce bottles and cans, many of them have been reduced to 8 ounces. So why are they making this change back up to 12 ounces? And we know from Professor Brian Wansink, who I've written about in our newsletter, he's done reams and reams of research that the serving size we are presented with often dictates how much we consume. Because really, whether it's conscious or even unconscious, we believe as human beings that the serving that we are given is correct, and therefore the amount that we should consume. And most of us, members of the Clean Plate Club, will subscribe to that. So, package size does affect what they eat. So for packages that are between 1 and 2 servings, such as a 20-ounce soda or a 15-ounce can of soup, the calories and other nutrients will be required to be labeled as one serving because people typically consume it in one sitting. So for certain products that are larger than a single serving, but you could actually consume it in one sitting, manufacturers have to step up in the way they display all that. So Nutrition Facts label, the things that will be bolded will be the calories, will be the total fat, will be all of those. Now they're adding potassium and vitamin D to the Nutrition Facts label, which is a very, very good idea. And they're adding under carbohydrate not just the dietary fiber, but total sugars, and a line under total sugars that says includes 10 grams of added sugar. So serving size changes because a single serving has changed in the decades since the original nutrition label was created. Now serving sizes will be more realistic to reflect how much people eat at one time. So let me give you some real world examples. You know that pint of Häagen-Dazs, which that normally contains 4 servings? Yes, it's 4 servings. Now they're going to change it to 3 servings because a serving size of ice cream will no longer be a half a cup, which would be 200 calories. It's now being increased to 2/3 of a cup at 270 calories per 2/3 of a cup. So that pint of ice cream now contains only 3 servings. Oh no. Well, the consumer will now be taking in more calories per serving, right? The 12-ounce soda, 1 serving per bottle for either bottle size. They're now going to print as 1 serving, not just for a 12-ounce soda, which is about 120, 140 calories, but a 20-ounce soda, which is 200 to 240 calories, depending on the brand of soda that you're drinking. So both 12 and 20 ounce bottles will equal 1 serving, since people are typically drinking both sizes in a sitting. This is not great. And you know what? 20 ounces is way too much. And again, we will consume the amount that we're served. And why should the food manufacturers dictate what a serving is? See, this is where I think the food manufacturers are still kind of in bed with the FDA. They're getting you to consume a larger serving size. They're also able to charge us more for that larger serving size, aren't they? So, how does the FDA define added sugars? Let's get into that a little bit, because I'm still very excited about that additional line item of the added sugars. The definition of added sugars includes sugars that are either added during the processing of food or are packaged as such and include sugars from syrups and honey and sugars from concentrated fruit or vegetable juices that are in excess of what would be expected from the same volume of 100% fruit or vegetable juice of the same type. So you've got your regular vegetable juice. If they're adding more concentrate, that would be listed as an added sugar. So the definition excludes fruit or vegetable juice concentrated from 100% fruit juice that is sold to consumers, as well as some sugars found in fruit and vegetable juices, jellies, jams, preserves, and fruit spreads. So a big question is, and they list this on their website, are you using the new label to tell people what to eat? Well, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I think the food manufacturers want to tell you what to eat. But the answer is, according to FDA, the Nutrition Facts label is designed to provide information that can help consumers make informed choices about the food they consume, what they purchase, what's appropriate for them. Okay, you know, your regular boilerplate answer. So why is trans fat still on the label if the FDA is phasing it out? We already know, you know, trans fat is not good for us. Trans fat will be reduced but not eliminated from food, so FDA will continue to require it on the label. In 2015, the FDA published a final determination that partially hydrogenated oils, the source of artificial trans fat, are not generally recognized as safe. Yay! But this determination would not affect naturally occurring trans fat, which would still exist in the food supply. Let me make that distinction for you very clear right now. Factory man-made trans fat in the form of partially hydrogenated oil is completely different from naturally occurring trans fats that are found in some ruminant animals, such as cows and goats. Okay? That's occurring naturally, and that natural trans fat actually is good for us. Precursors like transvacinic acid is actually a precursor to conjugated linoleic acid. These are potent anti-carcinogens. These fats are actually good for us. Not just safe, but actually good for us. I'm talking about the naturally occurring trans fats. All right. Why are vitamin D and potassium being added to the new nutrition facts label? Because Americans don't get enough of them. And these are associated with chronic disease. Vitamin D we need for our bone health, at the very least for our bone health. And potassium can help lower blood pressure. Calcium and iron will remain there because they're required and they'll continue to be on the label. So, and what I said earlier about requiring vitamins A and C, that in general, deficiencies are rare in this country. So, another question is, I hear that some serving sizes will actually be bigger. That doesn't seem to make sense with the obesity epidemic. Hey, that's what I said. And the FDA's answer is that some serving sizes will increase and others will decrease because by law, the serving sizes must be based on the amounts of food and drink that people typically consume, not on how much they should consume. And people, this is where I think it's wrong, because how much people, how much all of us consume is based on the amount that we're presented with. Those serving sizes, and that's dictated by the food industry. FDA continues to say recent food consumption data show that some serving sizes need to be revised. You know, the ice cream example I gave you, which was previously half a cup, will now be changing to 2/3 of a cup. An 8-ounce soda will now be changing to 12 ounces. Certain things will change downwards, for instance, yogurt is decreasing from 8 ounces to 6 ounces. This is interesting. And the nutrient information on the new label will be based on these updated serving sizes so it actually matches what people consume. So how much time do food manufacturers have to make these changes? The manufacturers will have until July 26, 2018 to comply with the final requirements. And manufacturers with less than $10 million, less than $10 million in annual food sales will have an additional year to make the changes. So ConAgra, Kraft, all those, General Mills, everybody, they obviously have more than $10 million in annual food sales. They will be making those changes by July 26 of the year 2018. And the last question here, will the new requirements apply to imported food? Yes. Foods imported to the United States will need to meet final requirements. Now, in light of this, there is a report that says that taxes and activism won't hold back the world's hunger for sugar. I love that the new food label facts will include added sugars. But according to a report, and despite the negative press that sugar gets, demand for sugar around the world has actually increased over the past 35 years. Why? The middle classes in Africa and Asia, they've grown significantly during this period. So the report is stating that they don't expect sugar taxes or activism to move the needle in global demand. And emerging markets such as Brazil, India, Thailand, these three countries actually account for 43% of global production and 65% of sugar exports. Now, North and South America's and Europe's consumption of sugar is about 40%. And here's why the emerging markets are driving sugar growth. because as a country gets richer, its citizens also tend to consume more guilty pleasures, including sugar and alcohol. And the per capita consumption of sugars and sweeteners peaks among these developing countries when per capita gross domestic product reaches $10,000 and rises rapidly in the development preceding this point. Now, why is the war failing against sugar? There is a very, very strong sugar lobby that has a strong presence in Washington. Growers have donated $18.5 million to congressional campaigns between the years 2007 and 2014, more than any other commodity producer. So that's why we're losing the war on sugar. At the very least, FDA is prompting this change, which we're not going to see until July of 2018 for the most part, for the added sugars in the nutrition facts label. So I at least applaud them for that, but there's a very large sugar lobby, and I believe that as long as this continues, that food manufacturers are still going to have a huge hand in what policy is being dictated to us. So I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.